I read a posting this week on the internet talking about Trinity Sunday. First, it said it's the best Sunday to invite a seminary student to preach. And then I read a post from a pastor that said, if you're trying to figure out the Trinity for your congregation, or if you're just thinking about preaching on the Trinity, well, don't. Many preachers consider it the third Associate Pastor Sunday of the year. The first Sunday being the Sunday after Christmas, the second one the Sunday after Easter, and the third one Trinity Sunday. Now, I didn't ask Kevin to do any of those this year, so be ready next year. I think part of the reason that we avoid talking about the Trinity or preaching about the Trinity is that we think we're supposed to understand it. And there are lots of children's examples of how to understand it, but we just don't. And the truth is, we can't. The truth is, I don't think we're supposed to. It's right up there with so many other things that we just have to trust and not figure it out. There's going to be plenty enough time for that later. We don't have to understand it today. All that to say, we still want to understand it, don't we? So we talk about it, and I preach about it. Our desire to understand so much in this word is not unlike Nicodemus coming to Jesus and trying to understand the idea of being born again. Again, a concept that just really didn't make any sense to Nicodemus. But the question I have about this story is, what drew Nicodemus to Jesus? Nicodemus was obviously frightened to be seen with Jesus, so he visited him at night. I guess that's not so hard for us to understand, because there are times, I think we all can admit to, when we haven't been all that forthcoming with our faith. Times when we, like Nicodemus or like Peter, have denied or at least conveniently omitted our relationship with Christ. So it should be easy for us to put ourselves in Nicodemus's shoes and understand him going under the cover of darkness to visit Jesus. It's also easy to understand his question. Here was a Pharisee, a leader among the Jews, and he's so entrenched in the literal world and the literal way, and frankly, the legalistic way of thinking, that he just can't understand all that Jesus has to offer. But he's drawn to him. There's something that he wants to know. There's something he wants to feel. There's something he wants to understand. He wants to believe. I look around and I think there are a lot of people out there who want to be drawn to something. They're searching for something and they want to be connected to someone or something. Yesterday, I did a funeral for a woman here in our sanctuary whose family joined this church in 1956. She was 4 years old. She grew up here and then she moved away and went to school and moved out of town with family. And when she moved back some 30 years ago, she would come to Highland Park on Christmas and on Easter. And she got busy with her kids and her job, and she drifted away. But every time she was in the neighborhood, she would tell her kids, "That's my church. That's my church." Now, I've been here over 14 years, and I don't think I ever met her. But she was connected to us because she needed a place to call her church. I don't know why we didn't see her or know her, but there are people in this community who need to have a connection. There are people out there who feel connected to this place, who feel connected to our God. And sometimes we, like Nicodemus, get so caught up in the literal thinking and the need for understanding and answers that we let Jesus just pass on by. And we miss the very thing that we've been searching for and looking for. And we let people who need us walk on by. It's easy for us to look at the Trinity and say, this doesn't make any sense to me. It must all just be a hoax. Instead of believing what Jesus has shared and accepting that we just don't know it. I don't have to get this. God created me. Jesus loved me. And the Spirit walks with me. That's all I need to know. I don't need to understand how they're entwined, except for that they are in me. Roy and I, while we were in Seattle a little over a week ago, we went to the Boeing factory where they make huge 787s, 777s, all the sevens. They make them in this huge warehouse. And I had problems before with understanding flying. But after I went into that room and watched these huge parts being connected and moved by huge cranes and thousands of people working on a single plane, I can't even begin to think of how something that weighs that much and is that big can go into the air and fly. But it does. And I step on the plane and I believe it. And so far, so good. Faith is an important part of our story. And it was an important part of Nicodemus's story. Believing in what we can't understand. The Trinity is part of us. The three in one is part of the faith that we live out. But you know what really matters? Is that three plus one. The fact that none of the Trinity matters if we don't connect to it. If we don't allow ourselves to be a part of the equation. Our Romans passage today talks about being heirs with Christ. Have you ever been an heir before? I used to dream that there was a long-lost relative out there somewhere that was going to leave me a fortune. I used to dream it. I used to think about what I would do. Of course, I would still go to work because I love my work. But I'd be able to have all the things I wanted and go all the places I wanted to go. Well, that's exactly what this Roman passage is saying. We are joint heirs with Christ. Think about that for just a moment. That's pretty amazing. All that Christ was to receive, all that Christ did receive, is mine. But wait. That's amazing. But that also holds some responsibility. It kind of goes back to what I talked about last week. It's not all about comfort. If you've ever been an heir, you might know that it's not all roses. There are some thorns. There are lots of hoops to jump through, lots of patience needed, and often lots of help needed to get through the whole thing. Paul invites us to recognize that we don't have to fear. We've not been given a spirit of slavery, but a spirit of courage. Courage to live in the full blessing and riches of God. The same of Nicodemus. Jesus invites Nicodemus to imagine being born again. Imagine an opportunity to start anew. The Trinity, as wonderful as it is from the beginning of time, was never intended to be complete in and of itself. It has always been intended to be the Trinity plus one. Creator, Savior, Spirit, and us. An infinite plus one. You've probably heard the story of the eagle who was raised with the chickens. And so it stood in the barnyard scratching for its corn and watching these glorious birds flying overhead. According to Paul, we're all eagles. And perhaps our job is simply to remind people that they're eagles and to send them out to fly. After all, it is the three-in-one God who has invited each and all of us to be God's plus one. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. We're called. That's our church motto. That's each one of our individual spirit. We are called because God loved us and gave us everything as heirs with Christ.